I want to thank everyone. This far we've come as a church in changing and transforming to become who God wants us to be. However, this morning, church, I want to encourage us to shift, to really embrace the idea of shifting our culture as a church. You have to understand this. If you're shifting, you don't have two homes. You leave one home and come to a new home. The idea of I get baptized, that is not the end of shifting. That's the beginning of shifting. You get baptized, yes, you move houses from the world to the light, from history to the present, but there's a whole new journey that you must undertake to continue in the growth of being more like Jesus Christ. It's not a quick fix. It's not overnight, but we must be persistent, consistent, and engage with God, engage with one another. When you understand that, we can shift. When you shift, you don't stay the same. You begin to make changes as a person. When you shift, you don't keep going back to the old house. You come to the new house. You make it good. You work on that house, so that it can become what God wants it to be. My first point, the enemy of godly culture. Leviticus 18, verse 1 to 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God, so do not act like the people in Egypt, where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan, where I am taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must obey all my regulations and be careful to obey my decrees, for I am the Lord your God. The two enemies of changing culture is what you see here. God was telling the Israelites, I'm going to make you my nation, my people. But one thing you must guard against is don't go back or don't be like the Egyptians where you lived. How different was that? They were so accustomed to being oppressed that even when Moses tried to save one of them, he said, are you going to kill me like you killed the other guy yesterday? Yep. Who chose you to be the ruler between us? What happens when you're not in God's sight, you think like the world. You don't see God walking. God was walking with Moses, but they didn't see that. And number one problem of not being with God is allowing ourselves to be so much trapped with our past life. You may be allowing your history to trap you, control you, to such an extent that even though God is saying, I can help you with this, you hold on that history. And God is saying we need to shift and come to the new house of Jesus Christ to be transformed. Now, it's not an overnight story. I understand that. I know you cannot overcome that overnight, but we need to connect with God and with people to begin to make that change and make that our culture. That we talk about things, that we are connected to the body of Christ, we are connected to family groups, that is something we love and seek to connect with. The other thing is, he can bring us to a new place. That new place is the kingdom of God. But the challenge that we may face as we come to a new place is sometimes trying to be too much like the world around us. You know, the world is changing tremendously and quickly. And sometimes, if you don't understand the principles of God, you may feel like you're falling back. God does not want us to become like the world to win the world. He wants us to be the salt of the light of this place. He wants us to be the light. That means we are different, not for the sake of being different, not for the sake of putting down the world, but we're different because God works in us, that we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, and that's why to change culture, you have to let God transform you from inside. That doesn't happen because you just came and showed up in church and said, somehow it will change. You have to make decisions. What is the one thing that you'll take on this week? What is the one thing you'll take on in your marriage? What is the one thing you'll take on as a single person, as a campus student? What is the one thing you'll take on as a friend, a brother, a sister, to transform, to change, to be different, to be shifted to a new culture, to experience God in His fullness,
to not just hear about him, but to get a sense of God is with me in this. That happens when we begin to obey. He says, you must obey my regulations. Now, we know that that's in the Old Testament. As we switch into the New Testament, Moses came with the law, but Jesus came with truth and grace and love. Does that make sense? And we can connect to that at some point. But this is the enemy of culture today. We are either too much stuck in history, or we are trying too much to be like the world today. You're fine. Be with God. Let the saltiness of God fill you, and it'll touch the people around you. Let you be the light, and the people around you will see the light come from God, and it'll be filling them as they see you around. Here are the notes. Our history can influence our current culture. Church, we have to make a conscious effort as brothers and sisters to come to the new culture, which is loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Second, love your neighbors, you love yourself. That we have to connect in our family groups. That we have to connect with each other in a way that is meaningful. That means that we have to develop friendships. It doesn't happen overnight. We can't run it on structure alone. We have to make the effort to develop friendships. So I ask you another question. Do you have a friend here in church? How many friends do you really have? Friendship does not happen because you go in the same church. You may be churchmates, but are you friends? Do you talk about stuff that is what's going on? Or do you feel alone a lot? You know, you can sit among people and feel alone. And I'm not saying that the friends are supposed to fix you. I'm not saying that either. But you have a place to be yourself, to be authentic, to be safe, to be given care, to be given help, and growth to happen. That is what I mean. The other thing that may stop us, the quest of being relevant can destroy a godly culture. The quest to try to win this world, we must remember we're the light. We don't become like them to win them. We show them as poor people, beggars, just like them. We're not better than the world, but we are beggars that found bread, and we can show them where to get the bread. We don't come from a position of, I'm better than you. We come from a position of, you know what? You can overcome anything you're going through because I know I'm in the battle, but I'm winning. Why? Because God enables me to do that. That's the difference. It's not putting them down. Here's a quote. Probably the greatest strategy of church throughout its long and checkered history has been its constant tendency to conform to the prevailing culture instead of developing a Christian counterculture. This culture is Jesus is Lord. It's great to be a Christian. It's cool to be a Christian. Everything else is not cool. How cool is it to be like everybody else? Everybody tries to do everything the same way. I'm telling you, to be a Christian is a cool thing. It's much more cool than having the latest. I mean, think about it. Being a Christian is being real, is being yourself. Why would you exchange that for a substitute that is not you? Why do we give ourselves away and try to be some guy in Hollywood, some guy on a sitcom, on TV, some guy in the neighborhood? Why do we give away our God-given identity? Why do we run away from that? We've got to embrace who we are, what God has given us. It's vogue, it's hip to be a Christian. It's not the other way. Everybody's doing the other thing. I don't want to be like everybody else. Does that make sense? We have to get that right. Secondly, godly culture is intentional. In other words, I'm not going to have the culture that God wants me to have, or a mindset that thinks about God, or be godly just because for some reason, I go to church with my dad or my mom. Or for some reason, I'm in a ministry that it talks about God. It doesn't work like that. Let us see how Daniel dealt with this. Daniel spoke with an attendant who had been appointed by the chief of the staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please, test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said.
It's not a bad thing to fast, you know. My wife was on a fast the other day, and she was really talking to me about it. And I got convicted. I said, okay, it's about time. It's not a bad thing to get on a fast, if you can. Not everybody can do that. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine. I'm not sure if Daniel was very popular at that point. Provided for others. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meaning of vision and dreams. Let us take this in some context. Daniel is a refugee, taken from his land to a place where he has no rights. And he gets there and understands that everything is stacked against him. But he understands that I have a God in heaven. And so he understands, you know, it is my responsibility to be godly. So he doesn't let circumstances or whatever is playing around him to control what he has to be. So he takes the responsibility to talk to the attendant. He says, please, can you test us for 10 days? You see, if you're not intentional with what is tempting you, your sins, your challenges, and say, God, please, today, now, I would like to overcome today. See, the Bible says every day has enough trouble of its own. I think where we go wrong with our culture is to try to live 10 years from now. God is calling you to live today in a godly way. Amen. Now, not tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Today is all you have to do. That's right. Yes, you have a plan, but stick with today. And Daniel understood that. He says, let me tell the attendant, I need to change. I don't want to eat that because that's defiling me. That is not the way God wants me to live my life. And so he began to speak. And I want to ask you today is, what is that one thing that you need to be intentional about so that we can begin to create this culture of Jesus Christ? It may be that you just need to start going to family groups, meetings. Amen? It may be that you need to come to midweek. And we have a great time in midweek, amen? Amen? It may be that you need to come at 10 on Sunday, amen? Amen? And we have a great time talking about the Word of God. It may be that what you need to do is to be engaged with your children. It may be that you need to go out for dates. Because some of us have rarely gone out of dates. And we only go out on dates when there is some string to trust. That you need to go back to the scripture and say, take them out because we had a good time of fellowship. Amen. What is your story that you need to take on this week? Maybe it's your mind. Your mind runs quite negative. You need to bring it back to Philippians 4:8 so that whatever is true, whatever is noble, think like that so that you're connected to God, and with that you can start beating the day-to-day issues. It simply may be your emotions. They need to be brought to Christ. The Word of God can take captive of every thought and make it obedient. That you may be negative. Maybe it's your workplace. You may decide to go to your workplace with a different attitude this week and say, you know what? I will become more godly. I'll be the light of this place. The Christian culture will come through me. It may be your campus where you go to, and you may want to go over there and say, I need to show light in this campus place. He took that responsibility. See, the challenge as Christians is that we go through life, we get baptized, an exciting climb of about 6 months, a year or two, and then we come to this plateau and just stay there where we don't engage with God in a meaningful way. We do engage by coming to places, but it becomes much more a routine, a much more of a ritualistic operation. And over time, we don't even discern that we are dying or we are just stationary. And because of that, we're not feeling that connection with God. And we think that's the way it should be. Oh, no. We are weak people. We're in a hospital, not a hotel. In other words, they are always checking our vital signs. Whether your heart is in the right place, the right temperature, all that stuff is being checked. It's a growth process. Now, it's not something to stress you out. By the way, it's not. When you're in the hospital, you're not stressed out. You're trying to get help. You don't need to stress out in your growth. You need to connect with the reality of it. That's all. Not stressing. Oh, I got to do. Sometimes we make it too much of a performance. It's a lifestyle. Reaching out is a lifestyle. Talking to people is a lifestyle. It is who we are. It's not something we do on the side. And that is why you need your quiet times to connect with God, to know where you stand and what you feel and to start that journey that morning. I hope you can see this. We live in a culture desperate for hope and change. But we've been looking in all the wrong places for it. Hope and change will never be found apart from Jesus Christ. I want to say this, church, and I say this humbly. I don't want to talk to you like I understand every aspect. But I'll tell you this. Politics will not give you the hope you're looking for. Jesus will. If you put your hope in that world, you're going to get very uncomfortable and very angry and upset. But if you put your hope in God, you will see the emptiness of what is said out there. And you will call people to God. It's not about controlling and putting people down. It's about giving hope. A hope that is bigger than mankind. A hope that is bigger than society. That we get to connect to that reality. So then we can live of this in this world, but not be of this world. That's the only way you can do it. And you cannot do it without connecting to God. This is not how I feel. This is not about how you feel. This is about how God calls us to live our lives. You have to understand that. If you're disconnected to being close to God, then you'd let circumstances like Daniel would have said that and other things that are happening around you to dictate your emotions and how you see God. I pray to God. And I pray that, and I can encourage you this morning to be lifted beyond your circumstances. Amen. Finally, but not least, Christianity is counterculture. I'm careful because this is the buzzword nowadays, counterculture, counter this. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's just the buzzword. It simply means that we're not very much like the world at all. If you think about it, in today's world, if you don't have certain things, you're a failure. They don't tell you that, but they look at you like, oh, you don't have that, something is wrong. You know, Laurie's my buddy back there. He's always working on things. And the other day, he came to me and says, Luke, I said, what did you get? His brother got him a cell phone. I said, oh, they spoiled my movement here. He was the only guy standing without a cell phone. And now he has one. I thought you're going to be different. He's like, oh, I said, how is the cell phone doing? It's alive. I'm like, what? In other words, we're not like the world. Don't get me wrong. We can do certain things, but we don't have to be defined the way the world is defined by material things. Don't get me wrong. We can have fun too, but we don't have to be defined by those things as well. We're defined by God. We're defined by relationship with God. And we're defined, you know, the world acts like I don't need anyone. But we know we need one another. Everybody acts like I'm cool. You don't need to tell me anything. We need one another. I need relationships. I feel lonely and miserable when I don't talk about my issues. I hope I'm in the right place. You guys feel the same sometimes? But yet we don't connect with people. We avoid people. We have habits of avoiding people. We don't come to staff. We don't connect with people. We don't know how to, hey, how are you? What's your name? We think that that's strange. It's not strange. I mean, I've been talking to people this week trying to share my faith, and some I was just talking to them. I talked to one guy, and he thought I had something to say to him. I said, no, I was just saying hello to you. Because he looked at me like, what? What do you need? I said, no, I'm just saying hello. How are you? Yeah.
And the more I do that, the more I realize, oh my goodness, we are hungry of a relationship with one another. We're hungry of a relationship with God. A bigger meaning. And that is a truth that we must begin to examine in our lives. You may think, I'm okay alone. Well, God didn't create us like that. Two are better than one. That's what he talks about. The implication of that scripture is that we need another person. We know we use that in marriage, but two are better than one. The implication of that is that we need other people. Let's get on with it. Time is getting out of here. John 4:6-9 says, soon as a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? You have to understand the setting here, guys. That the Samaritans were a mixture of Jew and Gentiles. So they never got together with the Jews. And culturally, what are you doing talking to a woman? It was not supposed to happen like that. And it's midday if you read the story. This is a bad setting. They never talked to each other because firstly, the Jews believed their place of worship was Jerusalem. They were the Jacob's Well and the Mount Gerizim was the place to go for them. So that was a big thing. They never liked each other. Both ways they hated each other. And now Jesus says, okay, hold on. I know you're Samaritan, but I'm going to talk to you about water. And she's trying to remind Jesus about the existing facts and why they don't get together. So I come back to us and I say, what is your cultural excuse for not getting along? Jesus went across that line. What is your cultural excuse for not getting along? I've told you this many times. I was a child that moved around a lot. And everybody would tell me, we're different. I look at them and I say, not really from where I came from. Our culture is different. I say, I've seen many. They seem similar to me. They hated that. What is your cultural reason why you make it hard for anyone to speak to you because you say, you don't understand me, I'm from a different culture. We are not of the culture of this world. We are of the culture of heaven. That doesn't mean you lose your identity because God created you in his own image. You will never lose your identity by following God. You never lose your culture by following God. That's an identity you have. There's only one you. There's no two of you. Let's not be afraid of that idea of knowing God in the name of I'll lose me. You will not lose you. In actual sense, because you don't engage with God, you're losing yourself. You want to know who you are? Connect with God. An amazing spirit comes into you. You begin to feel God in ways you've never felt before. Courage, confidence comes to you. Why? Because God is at work with his spirit within your body. Amen. Jesus did that. People want to remind us how different we are. I am Hispanic. I am black. I am white. I am Asian. I am Kenyan. And whatever else you can bring about. French speaking. The truth be told, we've been called to go above those lines. Because how can we become the light, the salt of the earth, if we are not different from how the world runs? How can we? Then we offer nothing. We offer no hope. We are as good as the world then. We've lost saltiness of it. We have to understand this. We have to go beyond that. That was just, Jesus was demonstrating that as he spoke to her. And she was trying to remind him. Why are you asking me for a drink? Why are you asking me for a drink? You see, we can use our cultural backgrounds as a reason for God not to reach out to us. We can use different things. And yes, I'm sensitive to all these other things. We've got to do that. But it's important that we do it right. Here's a quote that I want to end with. Culture is useless unless it's constantly challenged by counterculture. Different culture, that is the culture of Christ. People create a culture. Culture creates people. As a church, we create a culture, but that culture can create us. We are seeking to develop a culture that is so connected to God and connected to one another. We have to create that intentionally. It is two-way street. When people hide behind a culture, you know that that it's a dead culture.
I don't want to come to a church that has a dead culture.
Amen.
I want to come to a church that we had in communion today. That it's a hospital. It's a place we can speak vulnerably about ourselves and the issues we have. Grow, not judge, fix one another. Connect to God. Be different, not for the sake of being different, but to give hope and love to the world so that we may touch this world. Our children await on our faith, our friends, our neighborhood. But that means we shift the culture. God bless you.